The WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference will be held in Normal, Illinois, November 24th. Tickets are $25 and include lunch and parking. Details and tickets are at willag.org. Thanks to these businesses for their support. Farm Credit Illinois, Stuart Peterson, Risk Management Commodities, and Pioneer Seeds.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 20th day of November, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Matt Bennett from Channel Seeds will be here to discuss the agricultural cash grain market and take a look at what's been happening down on the farm in Windsor, Illinois. And we'll hear from Lisa Braltz with another edition of Backyard Industry. As we close out our time together, Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather will be here to talk about the agricultural weather forecast, in particular about El Nino and what it might mean for cold weather or not here in the central part of the United States. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon. A dime higher in the nearby December corn. It settled at $3.73 and a quarter. The March at $3.86 and a quarter, 10 and a quarter higher. And the May futures at $3.95 were up a dime as well. July up a dime at $4.02 and a quarter. September futures for the day at $4.08 and a half, up 10 and a half. And December of next year at $4.16 and a quarter, 9 and a quarter cents higher. Soy complex now bean futures at $10.20 and a half, 15 and three quarters. Quarters higher. March at 10.28, up 16. May 10.34 and a half, up 16 and a quarter. And July futures at 10.39 and a quarter, up 16 cents. August $10.39 and a half, up 15 and a quarter. November beans at $10.04 and a half, up 12 cents for the day. Bean meal futures finished at $3.70.80, 40 cents higher. And the bean oil up 16 at $32.67. Chicago soft red winter wheat in the December up 9 and a half at $5.47 and a quarter. July at $5.64 and a half, up 11. Kansas City wheat in the July futures at $6.09 and a half, finished 17 cents higher for the day. Live cattle futures from the CME Group at $170.30, down 52 and a half in the December. February up, down 52 and a half as well at $171.77 and a half. And the feeder cattle finished the January contract at $235.52 and a half, $1.57 and a half lower. Lean hogs on the day, $1.17 and a half lower at $90.60. This, of course, is the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Checking now the outside markets. Crude oil at $75.68 a barrel, $1.10 higher. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.37.09. That's up 2 cents for the day. And the gasoline on the wholesale price, RBOB, at $2.02.09. A penny and 4 tenths of a cent lower. Natural gas at $4.47 and 2 tenths, a penny higher for the day, or rather a dime and a tenth higher for the day. And ethanol futures up 7 and 3 tenths of a cent at $1.94 and 8 tenths on its settlement price. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,665, just about 8 points higher for the day. And the gold futures at around $1,193 or 50 cents lower. The dollar index at 87.66 is down 0.051. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. This comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. Mostly sunny skies, a high of 30 degrees and a west wind at 9 to 13. Tonight, clear and a low of 12. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 30 degrees. Light east winds out of the turning to the southeast at 9 to 14. Winds could gust all the way to 18 during the day tomorrow, and then Friday evening, a chance of freezing rain, mostly cloudy, a low of 27, south-southeast winds at 11 to 16. Saturday, a 50% chance of showers, cloudy, and a high of 48 degrees. Saturday night, rain likely, cloudy, and a low of 41. On Sunday, 52 degrees with rain, about an 80% coverage. And Sunday night, a chance of rain, cloudy, and 37. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On the phone line now with us to take a look at the marketplace is Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us.
Hi. Hey, well, Todd.
Why is it that we had such a rally in the corn market today?
Well, from what I can understand, it has a lot to do with the option expirations tomorrow at noon. We have the December corn options expiring, and we have the December soybean options expiring, and they're based off of the January contract. Now, these are cereal options. These are kind of the in-between ones. They're not too widely traded. They're mostly traded, you know, by the Chicago pit brokers because they're kind of market makers. But I understand there was a bunch of short calls in that 10-20 area on that January, so they were the market was running up to put those guys under gun, so they'd have to cover with a long position. And that same way here in the, I think, December corn, you had probably a lot of short call guys at that 370 area. So what the market was doing was kind of, didn't have anything else really to trade other than we had a very good corn export sales number, and then we had a couple daily sales announcements of corn and soybeans. But other than that, I think the news was generally quiet. So that kind of allowed the traders to kind of crowd those guys that were short the options.
What does it mean all in all? Was there anything important then in the marketplace that happened in the charts because of this? Are there other things that you have to watch, or is it just a temporary push to the upside?
Well, that's to be seen. I'm on the road here today, so I haven't seen whether or not we took out yesterday's low or not before we turned sharply higher, whether or not we actually got a reversal or if it's kind of an inside up day. But what it does is when you look at the chart, corn futures basically had found support at about the 38% retracement level of the fall advance. And soybeans yesterday kind of closed right near the 50% retracement level of the fall advance. So they were at some key retracement levels for technical buyers to come in and buy the break. Most of your system traders that use a lot of moving averages and technical indicators in their formula, they're still basically long. So when the market did find support at those support points, then you would see technical buying come in at those points. And I think basically, you know, what it is still the hangover from the bear market that we had this summer. I mean, the general attitude in the trade is still very bearish because you look at supply-demand tables and we're seeing some of the largest carryovers that we've seen in modern times, and that keeps everybody generally bearish. So it keeps the short, and it keeps the small guy out of the long side because they just can't bring themselves to buy in something that large carryout coming at us. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing here. Also, it's not uncommon for these corn and soybean markets to kind of break in the third week of November and then kind of firm up as you go into Thanksgiving. Corn then sometimes softens up a little bit during the early part of the delivery period. But soybeans, a lot of times, once they have their third week November break, they really don't look back, and they kind of rally as you go into the next year. Now, that's just looking at a normal seasonal average pattern.
And by the way, corn posted an outside up day, and it has a hookup week going at this point. So those are a couple of that would be in the December contract and the weekly lead option for the hookup.
Yeah, if you had an outside up, in the makings early going, your technicians would step in there and start buying that too and just paint themselves a better looking price pattern for that. So That kind of maybe explains that. I don't know. Did beans take out yesterday as well?
Let me take a look in the January contract.
Yeah.
No.
So they're kind of an inside day.
Yeah, they are an inside day. Yeah, it had January had an inside day.
Inside day. Okay.
Yep.
So the key here will be, I think what technicians will be looking at is whether or not the market can show some follow through from today's advances and kind of hold today's advance on into the Friday close. And then I think then that kind of teases up then to maybe show some price strength as we go on into the holiday weekend, because I think the shorts will want to cover going into a holiday short and trade, and that might stir up a little strength earlier in the week.
Okay, a couple of other items. I think you and I had a little discussion earlier because there was a McLean County farm that's near Bloomington, Illinois. For those who are outside of the area and listening maybe on the web, McLean County is there. Saybrook was where the farm was sold. Murray Wise will be talking with me at about 2:45 this afternoon. I'll try to post this on willag.org. Murray Wise and Company sold that farm, $7,050 an acre. Was the sale on the farm, and I asked Murray about that because it looked like it was a good farm, and that seems like it might be not much. Relatively speaking, he said it had D slopes, fair soils. Linder called it a C-quality farm. So looks are deceiving, I suppose, but $7,000, we'll learn more about that from Murray Wise and whether that means anything over the long run or not. I don't know. There are a lot of farms that have been selling, so we'll see how things go for the winter. What are you thinking about on land? Anything at all?
Yes, definitely interesting. Like I said, I thought I saw a blip the other day or so that we had a farm in South McLean County, which would be good dirt, would be my guess. That would be good flat and black stuff. It went for like $12,700. I think it was like 160 acres. So I don't know if that's correct or not, but I thought I saw that on the Twitter wire. So that's really not too far off of the high if it's truly a good farm.
Right, right. Well, there's more to discover as we go through time, and we'll talk more about this with you on Monday. I'm looking forward to having you at the Farm Assets Conference there in Bloomington.
I'm looking forward to coming up. I haven't been up north since the summer, so I'm anxious to come up. I'm hoping I'm going to bring some warm weather with me because I think you guys need some. It's 70 down here today, so it's pretty nice.
Yeah, well, the problem with the warm weather, if you don't warm it up enough, we get what's in our forecast now, which is freezing rain. Bring warmer weather than that, would you?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much, Dan.
Okay. Bye.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana, and joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can still sign up and buy your tickets for our Farm Assets Conference on Monday. It's just $25. You'll be on a will call, meaning you'll pick your tickets up at the door. There are tickets still available at 800-898-1065. More than a couple hundred folks are coming, so we're really happy about that. The tickets are just $25. The program starts around 10:15 in the morning. Actually, that's the registration time. Program starts at 11. We'll finish at 5 o'clock in the evening. We'll have a dozen of our regular on-air analysts with us, including Dan, who's on the corn panel. That's the last thing around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But we'll also talk about the value of land. I think it'll be important after this sale to hear more about that. Bruce Sherrick will be there. He's the director of the Farmland Center for Farmland Investment right here on campus in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. We'll talk about crop insurance. Gary Schnitke will be there, and he'll discuss what payouts might be for this year and what potentials look like for next year based on the brand new ARC and PLC or ARC and PLC program. Speaking of which, sign up is now started, but don't do anything. Actually, mostly you won't do anything until you get around to February and March, but you'll want to get a chance to hear about that. Jonathan Kappas knows more about this program than anybody I've run into, and he will be there. He'll go in depth in this program for about an hour, hour and a half. So if you want to come, please do. You can call right now at 800-898-1065, get your tickets, or just go online to willag.org, and you'll find a way to purchase your tickets securely online. However you do that, the tickets will not be sent to you. You'll have to pick them up on Monday when you get to the Farm Assets Conference. For those who have signed up, by the way, when you come, you're going to park in the parking deck that is right next to the Marriott, and we'll give you a ticket to come out of that parking deck when we finish up in the evening. So the parking and the meal are included in that $25 fee. It looks like it's going to be a great program. It's a really great program. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are, and that I will see you. Go at willag.org and buy your tickets now if you haven't already.
Support for today's broadcast comes in part from the Friends of WILL. And from Common Ground Food Co-op in downtown Urbana, with a deli featuring iced lattes made with fairly traded ingredients and local milk, and a salad bar filled with local and organic ingredients. More information is at commonground.coop.
Coming up next, so what did you do with all those leaves this fall? Lisa Braltz discovered a fortuitous, sustainable, and very local alternative to bagging them and leaving them for pickup in this vintage edition of Backyard Industry.
Deciduous trees, trees that lose their leaves in autumn, in our part of Illinois, are especially beautiful about 6 months out of the year. The appearance of their leaves in spring after long winters and their showy foliage in the fall are hotly anticipated and discussed seasonal occurrences. And the shade they provide during our sweltering summers is invaluable. But when winter begins its final approach and big fall winds blow the once colorful leaves to the ground, something probably should be done with them, right? And you have options. You can ignore them, you can move them around to different parts of your yard, and outside city limits, you can burn them. But we're lucky in Champaign County. We have a major loop-closing resource in the Landscape Recycling Center in Urbana. Leaves and yard waste from Urbana-Champaign can be composted at the center, and the resulting garden compost is available for sale to local gardeners in the spring. However, Urbana resident Jana Hoyer needs leaves. And it's not like she doesn't have any. She lives in a heavily treed neighborhood, but she needs more. Lots more. Why? Well, it's about the ducks. Her ducks.
Honestly, what I really use them for now is I have herding dogs and I can't have sheep in my backyard, so we train on ducks. We use the eggs and they make fantastic compost.
Keeping fowl is legal in Urbana. While most people understandably think of chickens when they think of urban fowl, a walk down the street in some of Urbana's neighborhoods tells another story. Jana keeps bantam ducks in her backyard. The ducks are really for her dogs to practice their herding with, but in the winter, they don't earn their keep at all. They're total mooches. They eat a ton, they don't lay eggs, and they need a place to hang out that's warm and relatively clean. Enter the leaves.
When you have poultry and they're in a confined space, you need bedding. Chickens, straw works fine because they dig it up and stir it around. Ducks, straw is a disaster because their big flat feet stomp it down, it mats, it goes anaerobic, and it's nasty. I discovered by accident that leaves make fantastic bedding for them. They fluff up, they dry out fast, so they don't get all matted. The thing is it takes a lot of leaves because they compost really fast. I need way more leaves than my trees around my yard can provide.
Jana was looking at chopping straw all winter. An alternative that somehow made me think of Laura Ingalls Wilder and The Long Winter, the one where the Ingalls family twisted straw to keep warm. She wasn't sure how she would get enough leaves to avoid chopping straw, and she was ready to do it. But fortunately, she realized she could put out a call to her neighbors and, well, to complete strangers.
Put a pile where?
On the concrete pad.
Oh, so I'll have to bag them anyway to get them there.
Okay, well, yeah. So what I started doing is asking people for their leaves.
Using materials that are trash or an annoyance or unconventional to great benefit is not exactly new terrain for Jana and her family. Lengths of PVC pipe and twine become huge trellises. Wire cattle panels keep tomato plants upright. Reclaimed lumber becomes raised garden beds. And leaves of all kinds from all over Urbana-Champaign become bedding for ducks. And when spring comes, compost for the garden.
I was influenced by permaculture. We try to get everything to interact. Outputs from one thing should be inputs from another thing.
This kind of backyard project is an awesome way of closing the loop even more locally. There are people behind those bags of leaves, and they know exactly what's going to happen to those leaves when they bring them over to Jana's house. They can meet the ducks if they want. And if they're lucky, they might even get some compost from their own leaves to use in their own gardens in the spring. It's almost, almost like a tiny compost CSA. I think those ducks might be earning their keep this winter after all. For Backyard Industry, this is Lisa Braltz.
Our thanks to Lisa Braltz and to Dave Dickey for their production of Backyard Industry. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Thursday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain situation from Channel Seeds. Matt Bennett joins us in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Basis levels in your area and usage seems like what today?
Well, you know, basis levels out in the country are fairly variable. We're seeing, you know, up to 15 cents difference in bids. You know, within 10 miles of my farm. So, but, you know, looking at Decatur, they're bidding 8 over as of this afternoon. So, you know, running 8 over here in November in the midst of, winding to a close, the biggest harvest we've ever seen. It's pretty good.
Well, that seems like an awfully good thing. Pretty unexpected when you're raising 200 bushel average corn across the entirety of the state of Illinois, I would think.
Yes, I mean, you know, at our outlook meeting there in Clinton the other night, I said, you know, this is probably one of the only times you're ever going to see the biggest crop ever produced and have a rally and basis improve through the harvest, which it's just not something that happens often.
As we talked the other night in Clinton, and you'll be with us again on Monday at the Farm Assets Conference, the three of you seemed pretty confident that it was okay to hang on to corn and to price it out based on pops in the basis market, but you did want to price it. On the other hand, soybeans, you were all fairly sure that you probably should just go ahead and market. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, we since then we've had markets go down a little bit more, and then they came back up a little bit today. But, you know, any pops that I see in the bean market, in my opinion, if a guy's still holding on to beans, really need to be looked at very, very closely as opportunities to get rid of those beans. If they want to do something later on, they can. But I think right now it's getting increasingly hard to make a bullish argument for the soybean market, in my opinion.
Why is it, do you suppose, that Decatur is 8 over for corn at this point? It just seems very odd. I know the bins are closed. There's an awful lot of storage, but I can't imagine that there aren't people trying to sell.
Right. I mean, there's an awful lot of storage. And I would agree with you, seeing that, you know, yesterday I went to another meeting up in that same neck of the woods, and I saw one ground pile that was uncovered next to a pile that was covered. And, you know, the one that was uncovered was actually getting picked up already. So I would think of people already picking up some corn. You know, some people might be considering coring already. I don't know. But I think farmers have just been awfully tight-fisted holders of corn. And, you know, they haven't really come to the market quite as quickly. But there's no way that we would be bidding overs here in November with this bit of crop.
And very quickly, your bids for the day there at the elevator in Windsor.
Yeah, they're bidding $3.40 for cash, and then Jan would be $3.54, beans $9.98, and then Jan's $10.01.
Thanks so much, Matt. We'll talk with you on Monday.
Thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett, of course, is with Channel Seeds.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media.
It's National Peanut Butter Fudge Day. Marcellus Edson received a patent in 1884 for the milling of roasted peanuts between heated surfaces until the peanuts reached a fluid or semi-fluid state. And when cooled, according to the patent, reached a consistency like that of butter, lard, or ointment. On this day in agricultural history in 1820, a whaling ship, the Essex, was rammed twice by a sperm whale and eventually sank. In 1886, Carl von Frisch was born, A zoologist, his studies of communication among bees added to the knowledge of the chemical and visual sensors of insects. In 1906, Greenleaf Picard, a U.S. electrical engineer, was issued a patent for a silicon crystal detector, one of the first devices widely used for receiving radio signals. The detector was revolutionary in that he found that a fine pointed wire known as a cat's whisker in delicate contact with a mineral produced the best semiconductor effect. In 1967, the U.S. population passed 200 million, that according to the census clock at the Department of Commerce. And in 1969, DDT was banned for residential use as a part of a total phase out of its use in the United States. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.
This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenor is here now to take a look at the weather forecast for the growing regions of the planet. Let's start, Mike, with the monthly El Nino report from the Climate Prediction Center. It has been released. What does it show?
Well, it's pretty similar to what we've seen over the last several months, with cooler and wetter than average weather forecasted across the southern U.S. and near to above average temperatures across the northern U.S. with near to below average rainfall. That's not too different from what we saw earlier, but there are some caveats to this outlook, and we do need to discuss a few of those. This main forecast that we're talking about is for the winter months, so we're talking about December, January, and February. When we have an El Nino in place, it is fairly typical for southern areas of the U.S. to be wet and cool, while northern areas end up a bit warmer. If that is correct, then that means that this winter would not be like last winter when it was very cold and snowy. However, you may have noticed, as I'm sure you have, that it turned very cold in recent weeks and much colder than normal for this time of the year. Snowpack right now, the coverage of it is much higher than usual for mid-November as well, and that's an indication of just how cold it's been, because you can't produce snow unless it's well below freezing in the upper levels of the atmosphere. So that's the way it looks, but here's the thing. Technically, we do not have an El Nino in place. This is something that we believe is being overlooked by many people. Technically, ocean temperatures in the Pacific Ocean are slightly warmer than usual as of this week. So that does tell you that we do have El Nino conditions in place. However, in order to have a true El Nino, water temperatures in the equatorial Pacific Ocean, so we're talking about the middle of the ocean, they have to stay warmer than normal for about 5 consecutive months in order to have an El Nino event. And we've only had El Nino conditions for about 4 weeks, and at that, it's only been a very minor situation with temperatures only right at the minimum threshold of an El Nino. So when you put all this together, this tells us that, hey, we do not have an El Nino in place, and therefore we should not be too surprised that weather to this point has not been matching an El Nino, because, again, we don't really have one occurring. So when we look at the winter outlook for the rest of the central U.S. winter, it's questionable as to whether this forecast from the Climate Prediction Center will verify. They even mentioned the word doubt in their discussion describing how they came up with their forecast, and that's primarily because later on this month and into early December, there are hints from varying computer models for a sharply colder pattern to return.
Mike, thanks so much for taking the time. Mike Tenora, of course, is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois, joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.